Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Melvin. Thanks for joining us on The Road to Paris. As we count down to the 2024 Paris Olympics, we're introducing you to some of the top athletes competing for a chance to represent Team USA this summer. With 7 Olympic gold medals, 10 Olympic medals in total, and 21 world championship titles, Katie Ledecky is one of swimming's all-time greats. She sprung to Olympic fame at just 15 years old at the 2012 Olympic Games in London. And now, she's hoping to win big for Team USA in Paris as the elder stateswoman, now at her 4th Olympic Games. You could say that the stakes are high for Katie this summer, because if she takes home 3 more medals, she would become the most decorated U.S. woman in Olympic history, among other records that are hers for the breaking. But Katie says she's not focused on the records. For her, it's just all about doing her best. Katie sat down with NBC News correspondent Stephanie Gosk to talk about her Olympic journey and her goals for Paris.
I want to go back to London.
Okay.
I want to go back to 15-year-old Katie Ledecky getting ready for London. What would you say is the biggest change between how you felt then for those games and how you're feeling now?
Well, everything was so new when I was 15. It was my first time ever setting foot outside of the U.S. for a swim meet. And so everything was just new. I looked up to all these athletes that I was competing with, and it just felt surreal the whole time. And now I have couple experiences under my belt and many years of competing at the international stage, that all of the travel, all of the competition and the feel is very familiar to me now. It doesn't mean that it's any less exciting. It's still exciting and it's fun and really cool to be a part of, but I feel comfortable.
Yeah. Does it, having all of that experience, does it allow you to focus on your training in a different kind of way, because you don't have all of the other overwhelming parts of the games having an effect on you?
I think I know how to manage the games pretty well. Since I've been to a couple now, I know the different things that you have to watch out for. Just, there's a lot of walking in the village. There's interacting with other athletes. There's a lot of potential distractions. And I always try to advise the younger athletes to enjoy it and to really soak in the experience. But also, you're there for the performance and you're there for Team USA to try to win some medals. So you've got to stay focused on the goal, which is to compete really well.
I also heard this is going to be your first time to Paris.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. I've been to France once before. Actually, our training camp before the London Games was in Vichy, France. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been to Paris. It's been on my bucket list. And I've kind of wanted to keep it that way since I've known that the games were going to be in Paris, because I think it's just going to create an extra level of excitement for me. You know, just that adrenaline when you touch down on that plane into a new city and such a big city, such a amazing place like Paris. I think it'll create even more excitement for myself. Yeah, maybe a little performance boost from the excitement.
Nice. You know, I think people might say, oh, you've been to so many Olympics. You've won so many medals. Does the excitement wane? Does it start to feel old hat for Katie Ledecky to win another gold medal?
No, I love every opportunity I have to compete. I love the training more than ever. And each day I'm reminded of those past experiences. I remember those past experiences. I use those as motivation to keep on going. And I keep going because I do really love it. And it doesn't get old. It doesn't get old to put that USA cap on and represent Team USA and hopefully, you know, win some medals.
I know you're training in Florida, mm-hmm. and with some of the men. Mm-hmm. Bobby Fink says you beat them in the pool. Is that true? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I can get up there with them some days. I've got to catch them on a bad day, or, you know, there's certain practices that I'm a little better at, or I can get a little closer to them than others. But I definitely try to give the guys a run and keep them on their toes and push them hard. And it certainly benefits me a lot.
Yeah. I mean, what is the dynamic and why do you guys train together? What do you get from each other?
Well, I really felt like I needed to train with some of the best, you know, male distance swimmers in the world. And we've got some in the U.S. right now, like Bobby. So it's fun. I love training. I love training almost more than I love the racing. And so just to have that push, have that, you know, have those people in front of me to chase and to learn from. And it's great. And we all have very similar goals in terms of making the Olympics, you know, hopefully trying to break some records, win some medals, all of that. And we train with the college team. We train with the University of Florida men and women. And we've got a little pro group as well. So it's a very good atmosphere, fun, wide age range, you know, from 18-year-olds to 29, 30. So it's a really great group.
You've talked a bit about how, you know, for some of your races, you're kind of competing against yourself and your previous records. But you've got in the 400 meter, this is an incredibly competitive race. Right? Do you feed off of that competition as well, having other athletes around you where you guys are really going at it?
Yeah, I love having competition, and I feel like I have great competition in all of my events. I don't think there's one in particular that is too much further ahead than the others mm-hmm. in terms of the fields. I'm racing some of the fastest swimmers in the world ever. So 400 free is definitely one of those that has some really great competitors from all over the world. And it's not just the three that everyone talks about. There yeah. are more than that, too, that are going to be in the picture in Paris, I know. So I know that I have to put in the work. And even within the U.S., we haven't qualified yet. Our Olympic trials are only a month before the Games. And so I never, you know, count on making it until I make it. And U.S. is the best swimming country in the world and means it's the toughest team to make. So I don't say that I've qualified for the 400 or the 800 or the 1500 or anything yet.
Just starting from scratch.
Until I actually do.
How has the addition of the 1500 race benefited you in particular?
I've been very happy that the 1500 is in the Olympics. It's been a long time coming. It's great that there's parity now between the men's and women's schedule for swimming. And for me, I mean, I've always competed in a range of events in freestyle. So in Rio, I won the 200, 400, and 800. In Tokyo, I swam the 200 up through the 1500. And with the addition of the 1500, I've kind of shifted my focus toward more of the 800 and 1500. But that's not to say I don't want to throw down a great 400 and a great 200 for our relay and really, you know, continue to push forward in those events as well. So it's just a balancing act always with the range of events I swim. But the 800 and 1500 are my bread and butter. And I love just trying to improve at those and find my pace and get locked in.
Do you know exactly which events you're going to be swimming? What would be the perfect list for you in terms of how many and which ones?
Yeah, I have in mind what I'd like to compete in. It can always change, so I don't want to exactly say yet. But no, I mean, my focus is the 400, 800, 1500, and want to be on that 4x200 relay. So each day, that's what I'm working towards, and things can change, but that's what I'm planning for trials to focus on.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot of these sort of medal records that are out there, most decorated female swimmer. Everyone likes to talk about the numbers. Is it something that you think about, you know, as you get ready for this Olympics with the opportunity to potentially win more?
No, I don't like to think about the history of things or the medal counts. I see some stats that get put out online or in articles or wherever it might show up, social media. But those numbers never really resonate with me. Like I always have to be reminded of what the numbers are. So it's not something I focus on at all. I'm just focused on my individual performance at this Games. And I've competed a lot in the past and I might compete a lot in the future. But at the moment, I've got to focus on, okay, these are my events. Each one, just do the best that I can. And however that falls in history, that's up to the media, you guys to talk about. I don't care.
What does success look like for you in Paris?
I think success in Paris would just be to have a lot of fun and you know, as you said, I've done this before. I've won medals before, and sure, I'd like to win some more. But, you know, everything after London for me has been icing on the cake. I never thought I'd make it to one Olympics. And so after I did make it to one Olympics, I wanted to have more success, but I wanted to, you know, make sure I didn't put the pressure on myself to feel like I had to do anything more, because I already exceeded my expectations by a lot. So, you know, I have some goals, and success would be achieving those goals, but success would also be, you know, walking away from Paris, walking into Paris, walking out of Paris with a big smile on my face, enjoying the time with my teammates, coaches, family. Family will get to be there. They weren't there in Tokyo, so it'll be a good experience, I hope.
Yeah. How special will it be to have your family there after, as you say, not being there in Tokyo?
It'll be special. My family has been there every step along the way, except for Tokyo, when they couldn't be. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to be there and watch me compete. And it's nice to share those moments with them afterwards.
Can you walk me through what is a typical week right now in terms of your training?
I train about 10 times a week in the pool for 2 hours. So most days twice a day, except for Wednesdays and Saturdays. And then I do weights or a lift 3 times a week, and then dry land another 2 times a week. And then I sometimes take Sundays off, and then I sometimes go in for a swim on Sundays, because I found that swimming on Sundays actually helped my Monday mornings, my Monday morning workouts. I kind of keep my feel for the water by staying in the pool. So,
what do you eat for breakfast? What's your go-to breakfast food?
Well, our morning practice starts at 6. So usually at 5 before that practice, I'll have, you know, some instant oatmeal with a banana.
See, I knew it.
Peanut butter.
I knew it. Oatmeal.
But that's like I don't even consider that breakfast. I consider that a snack. And then after practice, I'll have another snack on the way to weights. And then I'll have weights. And then I'll have my real breakfast, which is
usually... That's actually 3 breakfasts. I just counted 3. You said they were snacks. I think you're eating 3 breakfasts.
Well, it's like, you know, a bar or some milk or something. But yeah, and then I'll have like either more oatmeal or some eggs, and then I'll have lunch.
You eat oatmeal twice?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah,
wow.
I love breakfast food, so I like to have oatmeal for breakfast and eggs for lunch. And I'll mix up how I do the eggs. Like, I'll put vegetables in it, or, you know, spinach or
scrambled.
Cheese. I'll do scrambled, I'll do over easy, I'll do fried, I'll do with toast, without toast, I'll do it.
Any form.
Bring
the egg in any form.
So I keep
my breakfast. How do you feel about quiche?
I mean, I don't usually make a quiche, but I'll maybe go to a restaurant and buy a quiche.
You would eat it. I think you would eat a good quiche.
Yeah. Maybe in Paris.
Still ahead, Regan Smith sits down with Allie Love and shares how she's going for gold in Paris after the break.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart.
Ejercicios, cocinamos.
Todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Another swimmer competing for a spot on Team USA, Regan Smith. Regan made her Olympic debut in Tokyo, bringing home 2 silver medals and 1 bronze medal. She is one of the world's premier women's backstrokers and a 5-time world champ. And now, she's ready to bring home gold in Paris. Regan sat down with Today contributor Allie Love to talk about why she sees the pool as half full ahead of the Olympic Games this summer.
So let's jump right in. How excited are you for Paris?
I'm really excited for Paris because coming out of Tokyo, I was so very pleased with my medal haul. Like being able to win hardware for Team USA is an extremely gratifying feeling. But I know there's more to my story and I have more in the tank. And I'm so competitive and I'm really just excited to see what I have to give next summer. Because I feel like there's no greater feeling than coming away with a gold for Team USA. And that's been my dream for as long as I can remember. So that's my dream. That's what I hope to do.
What does your training look like to make sure you achieve that dream?
Yeah, training is intense right now, for sure. In Olympic year, it is at its most intense. Mm-hmm. I'm training between 9 and 10 times a week in the pool. And we swim twice a day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I do 3 weight sessions a week as well. So we're busy, but it's so much fun because I'm training with an incredible group of people who all have the same hopes and dreams that I do. And so we're just able to feed off of each other's energy and really enjoy our time training together.
I love that. You say that you feel more fulfilled and successful at this stage in your life because of a change of mindset. Talk about that change of mindset.
For sure. Yeah. So I, for a long time, I felt really almost like afraid to compete. And I would show up to competition and I would really just let my nerves get the best of me. And I wasn't having fun doing what I was doing. And it just felt like I was letting the pressures get to me way too much. And I made a coaching switch and a program switch a little over a year ago. And I moved to Arizona and I started training with Arizona State University. And I swam under Coach Bob Bowman, who coached Michael Phelps. And just being under him and being with that training group, it's an extremely talented program. And there's a lot of really amazing swimmers. And I train with primarily men now, and I've noticed that the men in this group, they don't take it that seriously, and that's not in a bad way, but they just have fun with it. They're able to approach training and swim meets in just a really lighthearted manner, and they understand that at its core, like, swimming's just a sport. Like, it's fun. It's not life or death. There's no need to put heaps and heaps of pressure on yourself. It's just important to enjoy yourself, and I've really, really fed off of their energy, and so now when I go to practice every day, I'm truly excited, and I'm having fun when I'm working my butt off, and I feel like I'm going to die, right, because it's so difficult, and when I go to competitions, too, I'm no longer afraid, and I don't feel heaps of pressure on me. I'm really excited to go out there and see what I can do and see all of my hard work come to fruition. So this mindset change has been very, very beneficial for me.
It seems like you've adopted that it's not that serious motto as your personal mantra. In the times that it's still, because I assume as you practice this, you can still feel the anxiety or the pressure. It'll creep in. What do you do when that pressure or anxiety creeps in right before you're competing or even in a tough practice?
Yeah, you're so right. You can never get rid of those negative feelings, right? They're always going to come no matter how much practice you give and you know, how much improvements you make. Like, you're always going to have those negative feelings. And you're so right. I just practice positive self-talk and I do repeat to myself, like, it's not that serious. Yeah. Luckily, like, I'm just swimming. Again, this isn't life or death. Like, yes, I feel pressures and things can get hard sometimes, but ultimately, like, what I'm doing is a gift. I'm so very blessed to be doing what I get to do. And when I kind of spin it and look at it that way, then I'm able to remember, like, wow, I'm very lucky to be here. This is an exciting experience. I'm going to look back on this one day and cherish these moments in my life so much. Like, these are the glory days. This is, like, some of the best moments of my life. And I just want to take full advantage of them and recognize, like, I'm going to get through it. It's going to be okay. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. Mm-hmm. And so when I kind of just talk through it logically, I'm able to pull back and be like, okay, I'm recognizing that I'm having some anxious feelings and I'm feeling some pressures, but just pull back, think through it, and recognize that it's going to be okay. It's not that serious.
When did you have this shift? Because I assume, like, self-awareness is important. Mental health has been a topic of conversation really recently, especially for athletes. When was it for you that you're shifting that mentality of digging a little bit more deeper into protecting your mental well-being?
I really think it was after COVID. That, I think, was the lowest point in my mental health, as I'm sure it was for so many millions of people across the world. And I'm so, so happy that it's become less stigmatized, right? Less taboo. I just think it's so important because people used to see talking about your mental health and your struggles is a sign of weakness, when in reality, it's a sign of strength to be in tune with yourself and kind of what you need and the resources that you need in order to kind of get past those tough times. And so I really made that shift in mindset, I think, after COVID, because I really, for the first time, I think, realized just how much I was struggling, as I'm sure a lot of people did, going through that really difficult time, right, where everything was put on hold. Didn't matter if you were an athlete or anything else, right? Like whatever profession you're in, things are just different. And I kind of had a heart-to-heart with myself, like once COVID had kind of lifted and I was like, hey, I really need to do something and make sure that I'm going to be okay moving forward, because the older I get, the more difficult the sport is going to be. And I think the more difficult it's going to get mentally. And I just want to kind of take preventative measures and take care of myself, you know, because it's not going to get easier. It's just going to get harder. So I lean on my coaches and my teammates first and foremost, and they've been so wonderful in helping me just talk things out and talk about my struggles. And I know that they trust me to talk about their struggles with me as well. And I also work with a sports psychologist, and that has been so, so beneficial, right? To talk with them about, you know, things I'm worried about or experiencing in the pool and things that I'm going through outside of the pool too, because sometimes things that you're going through in your life can cross over into your professional life and affect you in that way. So it's just been wonderful to have different outlets with coaches, teammates, friends and family, and psychologists as well. And that's just made a world of a difference for me and my confidence in the pool.
Do you think having medals adds more pressure, or does it take the pressure off as we look ahead towards the summer?
I think that's a really interesting question. And I think it could be either way, depending on my mood that day. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I have 2 silvers and a bronze, and I want more, but ultimately, like, I'm not the defending Olympic champion, so the target's not on my back, right? Like, I'm chasing the defending Olympic champion. Like, the pressure's on them, right? But then other times, if I'm having, like, a more negative day, I'll be like, oh, shoot, well, like, what if this is my last chance to ever try to get a gold medal? Like, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of pressure. Like, can I live up to that challenge? Like, am I going to be able to do it? So I try not to think that way. But of course, on a bad day, I'll you know, kind of go down that route. But most of the time, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm just getting started. My first games was amazing, but I know that there's more to me. And I know that I have more to give. And I know that I'm capable of achieving more. And so that's the way that I try to look at it. I try to look at it as like, nope, no pressure. You can only go up from here. And it's going to be okay.
Your pool is half full instead of
yes,
half empty.
Yes, I try to be glass half full. There like go. You said, pool half full. Yes. That was a good one.
Thanks. Speaking of competing, I mean, Paris is going to be great because there are going to be people there. I mean, how excited are you to actually compete in front of people in an Olympics? Because last time we talked about COVID time, Tokyo, there were not anyone in the stands.
Yes, I'm so excited to be able to compete in front of a crowd. Because, yeah, just like you said, in Tokyo, it was the most bizarre experience ever, walking out into a huge arena with thousands of empty seats. And, like, it was so quiet in there. You could just, like, hear your own heartbeat. It was wild. So I'm so very excited because I think I compete better when I feed off the crowd's energy. I've always been a girl who doesn't listen to music before they race. Like, when I walk out onto the pool deck to compete, some people have their headphones on, right? Like, they're in the zone. That's never been my cup of tea. I love feeding off the sounds of the arena because it can get so loud in there. And it gets you amped up and just ready to go. And it's like an indescribable feeling, right? When you feel that energy of thousands of people who are excited to watch you and want to be entertained by you. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think most of the time I'm able to rise to the occasion instead of crumble under that pressure of, you know, the expectations of thousands of people watching you and want to be entertained by you. I instead look at it as like, all right, like, I want to make these people proud. Like, they're here for a show. Like, let's put on a show. Let's make it exciting and entertaining. So I can't wait for it.
I love it. All right. Paint a picture for me. Off day. You're not training. There's nothing on the horizon. What does Reagan like to do?
I've always thought I was an introvert. And so I used to love to just kind of be a hermit and like wake up late, clean my apartment, do a little self-care day, take an everything shower, binge watch a show or read a good book. But recently, I have been such a social little butterfly. Just this past few months, I'm not sure why, but so now on an off day, I love to wake up, get breakfast with a friend, hang out with a friend, read a book together, go on a walk together, basically just do anything with my closest friends. I've just been finding that I love leaning on my friends right now. So I feel like it doesn't matter what I'm doing on an off day as long as I'm spending that time with people who I love and care about.
My last question, you talked about your teammates and how you have this really good bond within training. How are you going to carry some of those bonds with you as you go into the summer?
I think I just carry my love for mm-hmm. them and their love for me wherever I go. And I'm so very thankful that we live in an age where we have the world at our fingertips on our cell phones. And I think I'm literally just going to feel their support, right? Because I just have the most supportive friends and I get texts from them whenever we're not together. We FaceTime, we call, and I know they just care about me so much and they want to check in on me when we're not together. And so I know that when I go into this summer, even if I'm not with them, I'm going to be feeling their energy for sure, just because they just care about me so much and they care so much about keeping in touch with me. And they've just been there for me through so many ups and downs. And they are what get me through those difficult moments, right, of competition. And yeah, I feel their energy at my highest highs and my lowest lows. And I feel very, very lucky to have the friends and the teammates that I do.
The U.S. Olympic swimming trials will take place June 15th through the 23rd in Indianapolis, where Team USA will officially be announced. Best of luck to Katie and Reagan. Thanks for joining us on The Road to Paris. Join us next time for more conversations with the Olympic athletes competing for a coveted spot on Team USA as we count down to the 2024 Paris Olympics. The Road to Paris is produced by Alexa Casavecchia, Lauren Spector, Alexa Hess, Matt Greenfield, and Katie Disler. Our associate audio engineer is Juliana Mastrilli. Our audio engineers are Bob Mallory and Catherine Anderson. Bryson Barnes is our head of audio production. Missy Dunlop Parsons is our executive producer. Libby Least is the executive vice president of Today and Lifestyle.